But beside being a work regarding glossaries of the Holy Quran, the main important point regarding At-Tahqiq fi Kalamat al-Quran al-Karim is that author has some, you know, basic rules in his mind, and he is trying to use these rules to deliver a book to the people, to the researchers, in a way that they may get use from this book and to find a new outstanding meaning of the Holy Quran.
And why you are enjoying reading that book? Because it gives you this sense of freedom that you also, as a reader, you have this sense of ijtihad and expertise to go through different books, make a comparison, and then come to your point.
Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is the teacher. I'm Atta, the host of this program. The teacher is about the lives and works of the most outstanding Shiite scholars, thinkers, jurists, and philosophers all across the world of Islam. With me in the studio for today's discussion are Sheikh Mahtavi and Sheikh Ziani. Assalamu alaikum to both of you.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah.
Today we want to talk about an outstanding figure, a researcher in the field of Quranic studies and the author of At-Tahqiq fi Kalamat al-Quran al-Karim. He is no one but Mirza Hasan Mustafavi, mainly known as Allama Mustafavi, one of the outstanding figures in the 15th century Hijra, one of the students of Sayyid Abul Hasan Isfahani, Hujjat Qamari, and Sheikh Muhammad Hussein Isfahani. He is regarded among the mufassirs, the exegetes, and also the fuqaha, the faqihs, or the jurists, the Shia ones, a person who knew four languages, you know, the Persian, the Arabic, you know, Turkish, French, and Hebrew, and this made him an exception in the field of Islamic studies. Sheikh Ziani, let's start with you, brother. Give us a background about Mirza Hasan Mustafavi, about his early life, especially.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Late Allama Mustafavi was born in Tabriz in the year 1334 in lunar calendar. And he was born in a family that his father was amongst scholars. Of course, his father was not wearing turban or this, you know, special uniform, but he was a person who was knowledgeable in religious studies and was helpful to people also in the city of Tabriz.
That's right.
He studied during his childhood in Tabriz, and after a while he moved to Qom and continued his studies in the city of Qom, that it was about 7 years. And after that he moved to Al-Najaf al-Ashraf to continue his studies. And when he was about 25, he left Al-Najaf al-Ashraf and he came to Qom, and then he moved to Tehran, and he was living in Tehran up to the end of his life.
That's right.
And Allama Mustafavi was a prominent scholar in different fields.
That's right.
Especially regarding the studies in Quranic teachings.
Yes.
And, you know, he had the degree of ijtihad.
Oh.
And he had this permission from late Marhum Asad Abul Hasan Isfahani, Rahmatullah alayhi, a great marja of Shia. And he also achieved the, you know, PhD degree from Tabriz University. And, you know, so he is a bipolar scholar.
Very good.
And he had both degrees from Islamic seminaries and also the university.
So academically speaking, he got his PhD from the university. Very good. What was the main field of study in at the university?
Theology.
Oh, Shia theology, yes, Islamic theology. Okay, very good. So usually, you know, these faculties of the universities were called as ma'qul and mangul on that time, okay? Nowadays... Yeah. Somehow they call it Elohiyat or Ma'arif, okay? But Ma'ghul and Ma'ghul, it means belonging to both the rational studies and the narrative studies, you know, the Islamic ones. So,
and it is notable also that he achieved bachelor degree and then PhD degree. You know, he studied the every level of the university,
yes,
in
right.
The University of
Tabriz. The graduate and then postgraduate ones. That's right. Sheikh Mahtavi, let's get to you, brother. What information can you give us about the scholarly life of Allama Mustafavi?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Late Allama Mustafavi truly was a genius Yes. As our brother mentioned, he was born to a house of knowledge. Yes. His father was considered as an exegete and mufassirin mm-hmm. of his city. And unfortunately, he lost his father when he was 2 years old. And as you also mentioned, that another name, which is Allama, is known for is Mirza Hassan.
That's right.
Mustafavi. Mirza meaning, actually this is a title,
okay,
title given to person who are born from a mother which is Sayyid or Sayyida.
Sayyida.
Yes.
So Mirza is a title given to those who are born, but if the father is not Sayyid, but the mother
yes.
is Sayyida.
If the father is Sayyid, it is called Sayyid, which it is yes. Common okay. among us. Everybody yes. knows about that.
Yes.
But specifically in our Iranian culture, when we call somebody as Mirza, this is a title given to people who are born to a Sayyida mother.
Very good.
And also whose grandmother, Fatima, was really admirable and respectful in her time in the city of Tabriz.
That's right.
This is really important to know about Allama Sayyid Hassan al-Mustafavi, that during his time, he met two great marja. Mm-hmm. Among the scholars that he met, many of them, they were mujtahid.
That's right.
Like Allama Naini,
yes.
who is the teacher of Sayyid al-Khuy.
That's right.
But two great marja, one which is considered as the great maraja of Iraq, Sayyid Abu al-Hasan al-Isfahani.
That's right.
Our dear brother mentioned Sayyid Abu al-Hasan al-Isfahani at that time was the leader of the Hawzat al-Iraq.
Okay.
So
the Za'im, they
yes,
say.
Yes, what right. is called in Arabic language as a Za'im.
That's right.
So he met him. And this is also recorded in the history that he got permission of ijtihad from this great marja, Sayyid Abu al-Hasan al-Isfahani.
That's right.
And also he met the great marja of Iran at that time, which is Sayyid al-Burujerdi.
That's right.
When Sayyid al-Burujerdi, because of some certain operation, was hospitalized in a hospital in Shahr-e-Ray.
That's right.
Allama Mustafavi met him and to know about the degree of his knowledge, this is very important to know that Sayyid al-Burujerdi invited him to come and stay in Qom and take a seat for teaching
right.
and distributing knowledge among the Tullab. But due to some certain or private reasons, he didn't accept and he stayed in Tehran, as our brother mentioned, up until his last day of his life.
That's all right. Hujjat Kukamari, Ayatollah Hujjat
Yes,
Kukamari,
this is the also, teacher yes. who actually Allama Hassan al-Mustafavi was participating in his class in Qom.
Mm-hmm.
Before he moved to Najaf, he came to Qom. He stayed in Qom for 7 years.
That's right.
And he was benefiting from the Asatid, among which Hujjat Kukamari also is mentioned.
I've heard that Hujjatiya school is named after this professor, is it?
Yes, Kukamari, this is one of the right. old seminary schools, yeah. which is
and it
founded
still is active, you know.
Yes, still
so many students and tulabs are getting
foreign students mainly
foreign
are going there.
That's
and
right.
Get their education. There.
Very great. One of the interesting points about the scholar life of Allama Mustafavi is his mastery over different languages. You know, Sheikh Ziya'iniya, Turkish. You know, which seems to be his mother language, and Arabic, which is the Islamic language. But French and Hebrew are really strange for, you know, a religious alim at that time to be learned. And this is really fascinating that for an alim to be familiar with different languages. And we know that how much yes. linguistic knowledge can help, especially a mufassir or an alim in the field of Quranic studies, a person who wants to trace back the words, you know, into the original sources with their definitions and interpretations. This is very important. How many compilations does he have? I mean, writings. Allama Mustafavi.
Allama Mustafavi has about 70 different, you know, compilations that they are in different subjects and fields and majors. You know, because at that moment, at that time, you know, French was a dominant language in the world. And most of the people in Iran, they, you know, I mean, the educated people in Iran, they were learning French.
That's right.
And the result of learning Hebrew is that he wanted to study the Old Testament and the New Testament in the original language. So he learned Hebrew to get familiar with the, you know, original texts of Old Testament. And that's why we come to his most outstanding work, that is At-Tahqiq fi Kalamat al-Qur'an al-Kareem. That he, you know, dedicated most of his time in the ilm of lughat.
That's right.
That is, you know, trying to getting the exact meaning of the words, mm-hmm. especially about Quran.
That's right.
And because he, you know, knew different languages, he decided, for example, some, you know, words in Arabic are taken from different languages. When he comes to these words, especially from Hebrew, when he comes to these words in Quran, he, you know, gives the roots of the words.
Linguistically speaking, I think the Arabic and the Hebrew belongs to the same family tree. So that's why some of the Arabic terms, you know, might be rooted back to the Hebrew roots.
Yes.
That's why he knew Hebrew well, you know, yeah, as an exegete of the Holy Quran. This makes him very special, okay?
Yeah. That's right. So when he's studying words as a linguist, so he tries to get the, you know, roots of words.
That's right.
That I think we need to talk about this yes. book, At-Tahqiq fi Kalamat al-Qur'an al-Karim, you know, in a special program
yes.
because it's a unique work.
Yes.
So, but he is using, you know, this knowledge of right. learning languages to get more familiar with the meaning of the Holy Qur'an also.
Okay. Okay, Sheikh Mahtavi, any other details? Do we have about his scholarly life? As Sheikh Ziyaniya said, At-Tahqiq fi Kalamat al-Qur'an al-Karim needs a separate session. Also, Tafsir al-Roshan or Roshan exegesis of the Holy Quran. So if any other details are not mentioned, please do that for us.
Okay. I think this is also very notable to be mentioned that when we talk about one scholar, most of the time we are talking of his scholarly aspect of his life.
Okay.
This is very important to know about Allamah Hasan al-Mustafavi, that besides being a very knowledgeable scholar, he was really working on his spirituality, and he met great asatid, and actually he had a good gathering as a teacher, or having these asatid as his friends.
Yes.
Among his asatid, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Qadhi is mentioned
okay.
Among the asatid from which he really benefited. And also Mir Zawadogha Ansari Hamedani, who is buried in Ali ibn Ja'far yes. Cemetery in Qom.
Yes.
He is also one of the great asatid in the field of spirituality and mysticism and irfan.
Yes.
He had a very friendly gathering with him.
Yes.
And another name, which is not that known to us, is Mullah Aghajan Zanjani. He was really close to him with yes. his friend, a group of 10 people. They had a weekly gathering with Mullah Aghajan Zanjani.
That's right.
And this is really important for yes. such a distinguished personality, that besides his knowledge, he's working on his spirituality yes. as well. And this is also narrated by his son, Dr. Sayyid Mustafavi, if I'm not mistaken, that he was really staying away from the society in a way that he didn't want to become popular and mm-hmm. become famous.
That's right.
So it was actually a noble fruit of working mm-hmm. on his spirituality till right. end of his life, 2 years before he passed away, or 3 years, if I'm not mistaken. He accepted one official invitation from the Quranic exhibition, and he participated, and he gave an interview, and he talked about his life and things right. like this.
Okay. Yeah. Very good. Yes, you know, especially as you said, the presence of a spiritual tutor like Sayyid Ali Ghazi Tabatabai can also be very important in nurturing the character of Allama. And Allama Mustafavi was among the, I think, benefactors of the presence of these spiritual tutors like Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Ghazi Tabatabai. Okay, Sheikh Ziyani, anything?
Yes, regarding this, you know, aspect of his life, we should yes. mention his book, Risale Liqa'ullah,
mm-hmm.
that is a book regarding the
closeness to Allah, a yes. treatise on how yeah. to get close to Allah.
How a servant can get close to Allah subhanahu yes. wa ta'ala, and if any danger he may face with during this way, in this yes. way. And also, he says that in this book, I have decided to just mention those points and, you know, issues that I'm completely and absolutely sure about them.
That's right.
So okay. He's relying on riwayat and ayat in this book, and this book is very good that's for right. those people who want to promote in this way.
Very good, very good. Really great work by Allama Mustafavi. You know, 19th day of Jamadi al-Awwal, 1426, is the day that this outstanding man passed away in the city of Tehran. He was taken to Bagh Behesh Cemetery in the holy city of Qom and is buried over there. And may he rest in peace, inshallah. We have to dedicate one separate session to At-Tahqiq fi Kalamat al-Qur'an al-Karim and his main research studies on the field of Quranic studies, something which is very much, I think, neglected in today's world, especially in the English language, how to be more familiar with the Shiite scholars who dedicated their life to the Islamic studies, especially the Holy Quran. But thank you very much, Sheikh Mahdavi and Sheikh Ziyaneh, for this episode.
You're most welcome.
You're welcome.
And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to us. This was The Teacher. I'm Atta, the host of this program. For more information on this episode and to download for free our previous episodes of The Teacher, visit our website at parstoday.com/Ian Call of Islam page. Also our YouTube channel and Instagram page, Call of Islam Radio. To another episode, fi aman Allah, God bless you all. Ooh.